Hey everyone, you're listening to the LFC Podcasting Couch, and this episode's brought to you by Pharmacy Mart, Fairfield, New South Wales. Now, if you mention this podcast to the team, you'll receive 20% off their entire vitamin and sports supplement range. That's Pharmacy Mart opposite the Fairfield train station. And if you want any more location details, head to pharmacymart.com.au. Now, let's get on with the show.
Lovely cushion header. Pacheco!
Hey everyone, it is episode 83 of the LFC Podcasting Couch. We have just cracked 20,000 listens on our little baby pod, which is quite fascinating since on April 7th, that was only just over two months ago, we hit 10,000. So in 2.5 months, we cracked another 10,000. So thank you everybody out there, including, I want to give another shout out to our friends in Japan. Honestly, you guys are amazing. You don't talk to me on Twitter. You don't talk to me on Facebook, but at least 500 of you listen every single week to my pod. So thank you so much. Really appreciate it. And so I thought I'd celebrate 20,000 by getting a brand new guest on, and that is Mr. Jay Patel. How you doing?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. I mean, this is my podcast virginity, so it's all yours.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
We like to break new ground and break people. I don't want to say break people's virginity, but it's just amazing to see. I've known you since 2013, I think it is, when the first tour happened, right? Virtually,
yeah,
I've known you anyway.
2013, yeah.
Yeah. When did we first meet? Was it just recently? It was, wasn't it?
One of the events, this year sometime. Oh, no. Oh, yeah, no. I took the photos of you,
yep.
And then we met this year, yeah.
Oh, those bloody photos. Ah, Jesus. So the story behind these special photos was I was doing a photography gig for a game, and that was down in the Legends thing. Yeah, anyway, I was doing a photography gig, and Jay is also a photographer, and he decided to take a photograph of me taking photographs, and it became a meme. And it's just like the most embarrassing bloody photo in the world. So appreciate that, Jay. Really,
no
really.
Worries, thanks
no
worries.
Lot. It's so good of you. So, yeah, excellent. Anyway, all good times. You're a big Liverpool fan, but as I do with every single new person on the pod, I'll give you an opportunity to introduce yourself, who you are, where you live, and then tell us what got you into Liverpool in the first place. So why don't you kick it off?
Oh, I'm on the spot. I guess first off, so I'm from Sydney. Originally, I was born in Watford in England, and so love of Liverpool started with John Barnes from Watford, playing for Watford, and then obviously Liverpool, John Barnes, 1980s was just before my time. So 1991, Fowler, McManaman, they're the guys that I watched that I love. And so meeting them out here a few years ago was like dreams blown apart. But yeah, that's why I love Liverpool, I guess.
That's amazing. So, sorry, when did you move from Watford or England to Australia?
Just before 2000, so 98.
Wow, that's pretty much the exact same time. I moved to New Zealand in 95, then moved to Australia in 2001. So, again, the old Indian-English transfer, the big transfer news is us. So, amazing.
We're in the know. We know what's happening.
That is it. And the real internos are the Australian Immigration Department. So, good to see, mate. Well, amazing to have you on here. I've seen you at a few events now coming to, you're part of New South Wales, Liverpool LFC New South Wales. So seeing you down Melbourne 2013, I saw you. You did come to Brisbane, didn't you?
Brisbane, but not Adelaide.
Not Adelaide, yeah. I saw you in Brisbane. And then saw you at the Legends game and saw you at this game. So, seen you around everywhere, so about time we got you on the pod. So, yeah.
Thanks for having me.
Big welcomes. Happy days. So, I thought, well, should we just get into the filthy stuff being the latest transfer? There's a few expletives I could use when it comes to the legitimacy of the news, but should we just talk about transfer news first off?
I mean, if we're going to go with gossip and just
gossip's
if it's
good.
Gonna happen, if Aubameyang's gonna happen, then yeah, fuck yeah. I think we can say that.
Oh, yeah, I'm trying to cut down the swearing, so that's your first warning. You got a yellow card.
Okay, yep.
Only because I'm now being got sponsors, so yeah, it's all good. Man. It's fine.
Absolute
and,
fridge.
And I don't edit, so everyone's heard it, and that's it. It's happened.
I apologize to any young listener. Don't say it.
Oh, dear, it's all good. Okay, so you want to kick it off with Aubameyang? All right, tell us what have you heard, and I'll tell you what I've heard.
I mean, just garbage newspaper articles with no backing it up, saying that potentially Liverpool want to pay, I think it was £61 million, which I don't think he's available for, but he would be an absolute bargain at that price for what the quality he can provide.
That's a fairly good start, yeah. So everyone's talking euros, of course. That's €70 million, £61 million. What attracts you to the thought of him actually coming to the club?
I think it's pretty much he's Sturridge in his prime with a good injury record. So we want a striker. Firmino is amazing, but I want a striker that's going to get us 25 to 30 goals by himself. Not assists, not this, not that. Someone that Aubameyang, if you watch him, he'll score from outside the box. He's a bit selfish at time. He will score goals.
Yep, totally good. Being a stats geek, I'll jump into stats just so people know. The thing that I love the most about Aubameyang is that he's only, since 2011, he's only really had one average season, if we want to say average. But let me quickly run through the numbers in totals. Let's go for league goals to start with. Saint Etienne, that's 2011-2012, 36 games, 16 goals. 2012, what age would that be? Because right now he's 28, so 7, so about 21 years old. Or 22. And then 37 goals, 37 games, 19 goals. So he's getting a little bit better. And then he moved to Borussia Dortmund, first year under Klopp. That was that bad year, wasn't it? 13-14, is that correct? No, that was a good year still. Anyway, 32 games, 13 goals in his debut season. Then he became 33 games and 16 goals the season after that. And then he really burst. 31 games, 25 goals in the 15-16 season. And then this year, 16-17, well, last year, shall we say, 32 league appearances, 31 goals, and they didn't even get close to winning the league. That is crazy.
So, like, as a player, like, against, if you remember the Dortmund semi-final, his goal was luck. Like, it bobbled, he finished it, but he scored.
Yep.
One thing he did do I didn't like, the celebration, the front flip, but they were 3-0 up, 2-0 up, whatever it was, game was over.
Yeah.
But I'll forgive him if he signs.
Yeah, no, everyone's kind of showing that gif of him sliding past Mignolet. Mignolet actually doing him so badly. I remember that happening, going, oh, Mignolet with the Tekkers. So that was
just
pretty
just
awesome.
While we're on the subject of Tekkers, I know we'll come back to this. Did you see De Bruyne getting Rabonaed in the face?
No. When did this
There's
happen?
There's a Man City video where some, I don't know, they've got someone on just doing some penalties. Yep. Rabona's across the side, into the crossbar, hits De Bruyne smack in the face.
Oh, beautiful.
End the video. And I love De Bruyne, like, as a player.
He is amazing, isn't he?
But this video, absolute techers.
Yeah, nice. Speaking of De Bruyne, he does fit the mold of a Chelsea flop. Speaking of Chelsea flops, should we go into the never-ending story? Do you want to sing the song? It's the never-ending story. Mo Salah, the man with a million songs already on the cop, but without a contract. What are you making of it now? Do you want to give an update, or do you want me to give that update?
I assume the club's obviously no more leaks. We don't want to do what we did with Van Dijk. No one say anything till it's official. Salah's mates can come out and do what they want and kind of tell us, look, it's going to happen. Medical's happening Tuesday, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and today, Salah came out and posted a photo of him outside the pyramids of Giza. So all the Indonesians are there going, maybe you took the photo a few days ago? Maybe? So I put out a cheeky tweet, as per usual, saying, and people said FSG don't spend money. They built a bloody pyramid of Melwood. Because that's clearly where Salah is, having his medical tomorrow. Because no one wants to jump off a plane from a travel and then go straight to a medical, even though it does happen, but not usually from Egypt. But We shall see. Can I get your thoughts on the him as a player? Is he a person who you think will be successful, firstly, in our club?
I think having that experience at Chelsea is priceless for us as a club. Obviously, if we got him last time for 12 million and beat Chelsea, he could have flopped like he did at Chelsea. But now he's gone back, killing it for Juve. For Roma. And just, I think he will be a success under Klopp. His speed is just something that looks ridiculous. But also, he seems to have this Klopp mentality where he'll track back, he'll chase, he'll score, he'll work for the team. And I think that's what Klopp looks for in players.
Yeah, definitely. And we've seen all those videos again of him sprinting. You know, apparently he sprints faster than 10 seconds, 100 meters, which I think is a bit...
I think they're measuring from not a standing start. So, yeah. Of course, it's faster.
Exactly, because it's the whole 50-meter thing, right? People go, well, if he sprints that fast over 50 meters, clearly we'll just double that. Ooh,
so he can run a kilometer in like a minute.
Yeah, it's simple. What's wrong with you? Didn't you go to school?
The only thing that worries me is that comparison is Thiago Laurie. He was also supposed to be the fastest player since Ronaldo, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. We can all see that he actually can kick a ball, though, too. And I'm not disrespecting Thiago, but he just didn't have the build for us in the end. Mo Salah, I'm there going, I don't think he flopped at Chelsea. I'll just prerequisite that. I think he just had a choice of words because he didn't get enough of a game time there.
Which is fair because that's the Chelsea way.
Yeah, exactly. They have like 42 players on loan, right?
Yeah. Like even Kushinatsu at the time was young, quality player.
Yeah.
Never got a chance and he shipped out.
Yeah, it just happens. So, and some of the players over time, I think I listed a bunch of them, you know, Iron Robin and... Hernan Crespo, who was like my hero at the time, went to Chelsea and played one season and went on loan. All these amazing players have inverted commas, you know, flopped at Chelsea. So look at Daniel Sturridge. He was the ultimate flop. He was given quite a lot of time. And the only reason was he said he wasn't a winger. He was a striker. And as soon as we took him, we put him in striker and he started scoring goals. Yeah, so I'm not going to worry about the Chelsea. What you said, though, his time at Chelsea would be invaluable because he's not brand new to our league.
Exactly. So he knows. He knows it's rough. He knows it's physical.
Yes, yeah.
He's not going to expect West Brom to be a walkover. He knows what it is.
Yeah, and now he got his opportunity a couple of seasons at Roma to fine-tune his game, and he's still, what, is he 25? I can't remember.
Yeah, 25, 24, young.
Yeah, perfect. Definitely. Yeah, cool. So he's still got a solid... 7 years out of him?
Well, as a winger, yeah, 7 years, 31. Yeah. I mean, unless he does a Ribery or Robben and plays till he's retired and dead, yeah. But killing it.
But he's got that physique, right? So
yeah, it's true.
We'll make it 10 years. Why not? 5 Champions Leagues. The ultimate optimistic podcast, as per usual.
Oh, optimistic. I'd say 10 Champions Leagues. Yeah, we just
10, go. Why not?
The decimal and just finish it out.
That's it. I'm going to ask you the question. I did put this down as a poll on the podcast. Given that next year is clearly our year, I mean, we're pretty much going to go utter madness on trophies, but we only can win one of these major trophies, and it just happens to be one is the Premier League and the other is the Champions League. Which would you prefer Liverpool to win out of those two trophies?
Can I tell you which one and why?
Of course, that's the whole point of a podcast.
I'm going to have to say the Premier League just because of what it means. Obviously, we've got 5 big years, but once we win the league once, it's in the mentality. It's going to happen. It's not this curse. It's not this, oh, we've thrown it away again. Oh, how long is it going to be? And so for that reason alone, the league.
Perfect. I mean, I'm exactly the same. I think most Liverpool fans are. It's just one of those ones where you want to get that monkey off the back. You want to stop your stupid friends who support Man United and Chelsea and even Arsenal. You just want to like shove one in their face. Yeah, it's going to go away.
Like right now, they talk crap and you go, look, Champions League, have you won it? Yeah. Oh, you've won it once, 5 times, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. Like, and they're living in the past.
I don't want to be talking about last season or 13-14 when we came so close or any of that. You want to be like, oh, yeah, we won it, and we won it recently.
Exactly right. So I've just retweeted it out again. So currently at 275 votes, 5 hours left, 84% of Liverpool fans, well, I guess fans in general, but I'm presuming it's mostly Liverpool fans, are saying Premier League. They'll prefer to win that over winning the Champions League next season. So I guess we're going to play our juniors in the Champions League.
Even money-wise, surely winning the league's better than Champions League money now.
Yeah, it's a tough one, that. It's money-wise, yeah, as in at that point in time. But money-wise, in regards to getting extra sponsorship dollars and getting stuff like that, yes, there's a whole lot of factors that go into it. But yeah, point-in-time sales, it's not actually that different. There's not that much when it comes to television rights. I think we were within a few million of the leaders, Chelsea, even though they won quite clearly, 93 points, whatever. But yeah, television rights is more about how many games get played. It's, I don't think you get that much for actually winning the league.
Yeah, no, good point.
I guess, maybe.
No, definitely, definitely. I was thinking, like, I was going through the stat in my head, like, Real Madrid won and they got less money than Southampton that got, Sunderland, they got relegated.
Yeah.
But obviously, it doesn't matter if you're going to win the Premier League, you're going to be on TV, you're going to get the rights.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine if we go on TV and just got £100 million for it. Like, lol. I'll do anything.
Wait, 20,000 pods, mate. Just keep it going and then we'll still happen.
Exactly. If anyone's out there and they want to give me 100 million, I mean, I don't get out of bed for less than 50 these days, but yeah, if you want to, that'd be great. I don't
Some
know.
Some Russian guy's going to give you a call and you're like, sorry, I was joking.
Like, what? And then you don't know what you're doing up there on stage, you know, like the guy from The Simpsons who sings with his pants down, they'll probably just be me. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just being paid for this.
I mean, if anyway. It's two people, I'm also inclined to take this offer.
Exactly. They'd be like, but you showed your genitals on live TV. All right, but I got paid £50 million. They're like, yeah, fair, cool. Yeah, it's all fine. Yeah, sound.
Do it. I'll buy new friends with the money.
Exactly. When's your next episode? All good. Hey, I got a quick question then. Okay, so those two. Now, I'm just going to let you know my theory since everything's gone dead silent. And because, oh, lo and behold, ever since it's gone silent, there's no new players except for supposedly Bamiyang. That's from one source, La Parisienne. Yeah, okay, thanks, guys. I am quite certain still that we're going to get at least six players in this window. Since everything's gone quiet from Liverpool's standpoint since the Virgil van Dijk situation, there has been no new real players that have been announced. So I want you to tell me, out of everyone that hasn't been mentioned, who do you think Liverpool are actually targeting in the background and probably in contract negotiations with as we speak?
Oh, good question. I mean, he has been mentioned. I think Chamberlain would be a great buy. I think only on the basis of Klopp likes players like Milner. All these players can play in different positions. So with Chamberlain, he can pretty much play everywhere but centre back, as far as I'm concerned. He never will, but he has the potential to fill those positions.
Yeah,
he can play both wing backs, midfield across the four, or up top.
Yeah, he's a sturdy boy too, isn't he? Despite his injury record, he looks a bit chunky.
He's English. Yeah, he ticks all the boxes apart from that injury record.
Yes, it's disappointing. I think that's why we're probably balking at the whole £35 million tag. He's still only like 16 years old as well, but he's perpetually young. But he somehow is played like 5,000 games. So I don't know.
But also that experience, like at such a, he's 23? He's been Champions League, England, been with Wenger, who is a good manager, knows what
FA
he's.
FA Cups.
FA Cups, like. The Arsenal specialty, the three FA Cups.
Yeah, but still means a lot, right? You need those players who knows how to handle the pressure to perform well when the team are going to be very, very tight defensively, blah, blah, blah. So,
and like recently in this centre midfield role that he's playing, he's dominating. He's getting the ball. He's passing it well. I think Chelsea beat them last game of the season 4-1. He was in that role, but he actually played really well.
He scored a good goal for England as well. In their recent game. Yeah, not a bad opening goal. So,
Players we haven't mentioned. Davis, whoever it is, that we will definitely be buying with Champions League football, he will have to get back up.
Mm-hmm.
Moreno will be on his way out, I assume everyone thinks, and we'll get 12 million, whatever it is for him. So a left back that could be unnamed.
Yeah.
a DM, depending on Chan's contract situation, and even if he does renew, I still think Lucas will be sold and a DM will come in. Who else? An out-and-out striker, if it's not Aubameyang, there is probably potentially someone that he is looking at.
It seems like the Arsenal fans are convinced Lacazette's going to them. Maybe because he's French and Wenger's French.
I mean, Wenger, the pulling power of London is big, but Klopp is a big difference. Klopp asking him to join his team is miles and miles away from getting a call from Brendan Rodgers telling you that you should join Liverpool. Klopp is like when we had Rafa and Rafa could talk to anyone and say, I want you. No one turned Rafa down. The only reason Rafa didn't get his players was money. He wanted David Silva, all these players that he wanted. No one said to Rafa, oh, it's Liverpool. So Liverpool's not the problem. It's that manager. And so Klopp will get who he wants. I have that feeling.
Yeah. And the style of football he played was very attractive to most footballs, and that football was like that. So
you had players like Matt Hummels commenting, look, I still watch Klopp's games. I watch Liverpool's games. He has that connection with his players, and that outweighs anything. So if Klopp wants these players and goes back for them, I think they'll come.
Yeah, I mean, if things are going a bit tough as well, he just takes them to a pleasure beach in Blackpool and put a cheeky arm around the shoulder and whisper something quietly in the ear like, release clause or something like that. No release clause. In a German accent.
Over a stein and that's it. Done deal.
Delicious. With a giant beer. The one that goes from like your knee up to your shoulder. This is how the Germans do it.
When they came out recently, I was telling my friends, they're like, oh, well, I was like, mate, just hang out at Bavarian Beer Cafe. Klopp has to be there at some point. There's no way he's not going to turn up. German way.
Did he turn up? He didn't, surely.
Nah, he did.
He did?
Did he?
I don't know. Did he?
I don't think he did, but he might have.
No, he wouldn't be. He was too out of it.
They were tired.
Yeah, too out of it completely. You could see it on their faces. You see bags under their eyes, and it was like, yeah, I love being in Australia.
Actually, he was fortunate enough to meet Klopp, and I'm sure you might have run into him as well, but he was so nice, and he was happy, but the players were just tired.
Yeah, Klopp's just ridiculous. Just everyone told me beforehand that he is the exact same in front of camera as off camera. And to see it in person, you're like, brain explosion. That was just so, so awesome to see.
I mean, maybe we'll get another awesome Being Liverpool documentary. That was a great idea of Klopp.
The Liverpool documentary is in Inside Liverpool, whatever it was called.
Yeah, the US one with Rodgers.
Oh, yeah, with the whole envelopes and everything. Yeah. I enjoyed the show. I did.
Yeah. That's the problem. Watching it, we enjoy it, but it's just such a bad idea.
Yeah.
In showing different aspects that people shouldn't be seeing.
Yeah. Wasn't it like they lost the first game to West Brom 3-0? It's like, this isn't quite going right, guys. This isn't the best TV. Maybe we shouldn't renew this series.
It's the same with like in America, some sports have like tunnel cam and stuff like inside the dressing room. Nothing stops the other team watching that footage at halftime.
Yeah, definitely.
So if you're giving a team talk and you're like, oh, let's do this, and the other manager's like, you know what? Let's just listen to their plan and we'll do the opposite.
Yeah, it's I absolutely love Inside Anfield. Do you watch those at all?
Yeah.
Oh, man, they're so good. I'm glad it's showed after the game. So they actually cut it well and put it all together. Yeah. But even the boring parts, you know, inverted commas boring parts at the start, where you're just seeing them come in off the bus and stuff.
That excites me.
It is, yeah. And I remember seeing one time Danny Ings came off, and this was like in January or February, and he was walking with the team in his suit, but he was in the bus coming out with the team. And he was the only injured player I could see, I think, that came along with the team still. And I think he does that every single game. So I'm just like, oh, man, Danny, please, please come good. Because he's just, yeah, I think that must be why Klopp loves him. He's still there, still egging the team on. He's not a selfish guy. And he always calls him a good boy. So I think that really emphasizes it.
Just on that, like, he's been so unlucky, but his mentality of just fighting. And same with Kevin Stewart, who I don't know if is up to the grade, who's saying, look, I want to stay. I want to fight. Lots of games coming up. That's what you want to hear. these players that aren't getting game time wanting to play regardless.
Without a doubt, yeah. I think we said on the last pod with, not last one, 81 with George and Peter, we're talking about the psychology side of it and how Guardiola, I think, is the guy. He hired a person to just stand there and stare at the bench as the game was being played. I know. And just like, and then you'd ask him after the game, what happened when we scored the goal? What was everyone's reactions? And so
Alberto Moreno was flipping a water bottle.
Man, and then Klopp's doing that. What was the bench doing? You know, boss. maybe we shouldn't talk about it, eh? We'll just leave that one alone. it would be quite embarrassing. But it's a funny thing that Sturridge isn't really caught up. Like, Klopp clearly loves Sturridge for his talent, but his and he's such a great guy on camera, but God knows what he's like behind the scenes. When he's in training, he seems like he loves it, but he never seems to be that excited on the bench. And I think it was George brought up Marco Gruic with the big Gruic eyeballs when Hendo scored the goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you want to see. You want to see every player's head just explode when we score a great goal.
See, the thing with Sturridge for me is the last few games of the season was a different Sturridge. I think he was still injured in his head, this niggling injury, blah, blah, blah. But he was slide tackling. He was cheering. He was doing everything you want him to do. So it was almost like something ticked in his head that said, you know what? I don't want to go to Newcastle and play with Rafa. I want to stay here, and so I'm going to do whatever it takes.
Yeah, I don't want to go to West Ham or become a West Ham player for the next, you know, 5 years or something. He's there. He's all like, broken, but he's like, I'm a real boy.
He called out Jamie Carragher and said, like, Carragher did that thing saying, Sturridge pulled me aside and said, why'd you say that? That's great that he's asking him, why'd you do it? I deserve to be here, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah,
that fight is what you want.
Definitely. Someone should just go, come on, you know, I'm a real player. I don't deserve to be sold. And he's here to fight and absolutely love it. I think someone was even questioning me, you know, what do you think about that? Don't you find it disrespectful? I'm like, no, because they probably know each other and they probably asked, and Carragher probably asked him, can I publish this? And Sturridge went, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, there's no way that it's behind the scenes and Sturridge is like, Carragher, why'd you do that? Yeah. I can say, they all know.
And then he says it again. Oh, why did you post the article? I just argued with you about why he said something. Now he said something again. It's like us tapping up Southampton. We'll just tap up another player. Why not?
Some people online, honestly, are just clueless. I just don't know how you deal with some of the trolls and of the people that just have no idea and just say things and do things like, oh, why don't we sign Hazard? Because it's not an option. There's no way. Or, oh, Rooney's leaving United. Maybe he'll come, even though he's an ex-Evertonian. There's all this hate. He's past it. Whatever it is. We'll just sign Rooney. And they'll argue that.
I hate the whole Manchester United thing. Like, people just are like, every time some crappy journo from overseas who has no idea about our history goes, Liverpool are in for XYZ Manchester United player. And then there's a bunch of even more stupid Liverpool fans who are just like, yeah, we should totally go for that player. I'm like, you morons.
That's the voice. That's the voice of the guy, the generic voice.
But it's like, does nobody I mean, I'm in Australia. You're in Australia. Yes, we're English originally. But we both know we haven't dealt directly with Manchester United since 1977. We're not going to do that for a left back or a right back or some nobody from Manchester United who we all hate anyway.
Yeah.
It's like assigning Herrera. It's like,
it's not happening. People need to be clear. Like, I'll be honest, I think that tension's less now with Klopp versus when it was Rafa Fergie or even before that, Kenny Fergie, any of those. Obviously, it's more intense because Klopp, obviously, he knows of it, but he's never experienced it. But he's not dumb enough to go, you know what? We're going to go in for a United player. No one's that unbiased or blinded.
Yeah. The only time it got close was Rafa trying to buy Gabriel Heinze. Yeah, okay. And it was Sir Alex Ferguson who shut it down, rightly as well. But it was
without even like considering, oh, look, I don't even want Heinze. They're paying a fair price. He goes, no, it's Rafa. No deal.
Yeah. It's Liverpool. Get rid of him. Not even going to think about it. So that's probably the only time I've thought, you know, kind of not good on you, Rafa, but at least he's not Rafa, sorry, Alex Ferguson, but at least he's sticking to the tradition of the club's rivalry, which I would never want to cease because it's beautiful. Even if we both totally and utterly just got relegated, hopefully them.
Are you telling me to buy you a half and half scarf? Is that what this is?
Go. I want to see someone go full kit, half and half wanker. That would be the best. I want to see half Man United, half Liverpool, all the way down the middle.
I reckon it might be subtler to do front Liverpool or front United and back, so you only know from one side.
Oh, no. Oh, my Lord. Oh, can you imagine? That would...
It's like when these friendlies in Australia and you see the guy in his Chelsea top and people are like, why are they yelling at him? Because that's what he wanted by wearing that to this game. That's what he wanted.
I've told you that, haven't I? Every time there's like a Liverpool thing happening in Australia, and this must happen in England all the time because they seem totally unfazed by it. But every time there's always one wanker parent who turns up in a Manchester United top. I'm like, come on. Like, you're a grown adult. You don't have to be this much of a tool. So, and it's not.
What are they expecting to happen? Like, there's other United fans at the event. They go, oh, you know what? We can all take our shirts off now.
Yeah. I mean, going to a game and cheekily wearing a Liverpool shirt underneath your top or something like that, you see it happen a lot. You know, Robbie Farrow did it as well. A lot of my friends have done it. They've gone to Old Trafford. But if it's not Liverpool playing, they will keep the shirt underneath just because they don't feel dirty being in Old Trafford. And that's the only thing that keeps them feeling sacred, wearing the shirt. But just going around a friendly, or this always happens at a charity event, which gets me the most. And like, Liverpool Foundation is here to do something good for your kid, and you're wearing a Man United top. It's like, what is wrong with you? But there you go. Some mothers do have them, as they say.
Fun story. The first game I ever went to was 2009, Torres' last-minute header against Portsmouth.
Mm-hmm.
So couldn't get tickets for me and my brother, so we both got single tickets, Portsmouth end of the game. Fratton Park, loud. Torres' header goes in, 93rd minute. I jump up, start celebrating, go, oh, I'm not safe here celebrating. So I have to turn this into, oh, no, we've conceded a goal. Oh, I'm angry. Oh,
I wouldn't be able to control it.
that was Christmas, top of the league, Torres has come on, winner.
Oh, wow.
One of the happiest moments of my life, and just smiling but having to look upset because I don't want to die.
You have to have the tears coming out your eyes. It's like, I'm crying with sadness.
This is rage. Don't judge the smile. This is blatant rage.
I could only imagine, because this kind of stuff happens all the time when... my missus completely does not watch any football. It took me about 2 or 3 years to get her to remember the name Steven Gerrard just to make me feel better.
The password to all the computers.
So. Yeah, exactly. Gerrard, 2005. But when I'm there and she just happens to be around when there's a game on or something to do with Liverpool, she sees the beast come out in me whenever the game's on. And she's like, what are you doing? Stop slapping the chair and stop swearing. I'm like, I can't help it. This is how I do it. She goes, well, I don't like it. I'm like, well, you should probably leave. It's not going to stop.
Normally I sit in my seat. I don't try and get too excited until the game's dead and buried. But when Firmino scored against Stoke this season, I was upset that he hit it. And then when I saw it was in the back of the net, I was jumping up and down. Because it looked like we were going to throw it away. And Firmino, Coutinho, they both come on, and he scored this worldie. And I was absolutely, like I was at Pompey, just off my seat. No one could – if you looked at me, you'd think I was mad. You wouldn't – you'd be, what's happened? I can't understand what's going on in Jay's hair, blah, blah, blah. But just pure bliss.
I think everyone mentally ripped off their shirt and threw it into the sky at that same moment. That was glorious. And that moment brought out some of the best photos of the season as well. God, that was a great celebration.
Like, honestly, that game, and just Firmino in general, like, I think he is a Klopp player in and out. Like, people are like, oh, he's not an out-and-out striker. He's not this and that. His teamwork and his pressing and everything he does, I think he's undroppable because of that. But if you buy Aubameyang, he's the player that gets dropped.
Yeah, and it's frustrating when he hasn't got people around him that's on his level. Like when he gets shoved to the right wing and Coutinho's on the left wing, you're just like, well, there's no one who's on Firmino's level now thinking the same way Firmino thinks. Yeah. And so it's like, oh, but he's shit when he plays a different position. Pardon my language. Sorry. And I'm about to burn.
Yellow card. Yellow card.
Sorry. I'm sorry, Pharmacy Mart. Just... But that's what we need in our team, more people who are on that sort of creative thinking level, so that whenever a person is forced to change position, Pete brought up a very good point in his pod with George recently. He said a formation, especially in Klopp's system, is only that formation at kickoff. But as soon as the game kicks off, it's fluid the whole way through, except for defending. And so... we need to have more players like Firmino, who can be a right winger, left winger, central striker, an attacking midfielder, all at the same time.
And that's what excites me about all these suggested signings. And even Mane, Coutinho, they all have that ability to just be a three that you don't know where they are. And how are you going to mark that if Coutinho's here, your man marking him, then he's the other wing and swap back? You just can't do it.
No, you can't stop that evil beast as it explodes. Well, it's all good. We're thinking about any other players. Do you think the Keita deal is dead?
Nabby. I mean, hearing nothing from Liverpool and rumours, I think that's good. People, obviously, we all want to know what's happening all the time. But I think not knowing things is good. And I think as soon as it officially opens, the signings will be announced. We'll see the classic lean and we'll all be happy. We've seen what Klopp's done at Dortmund with his signings, that he turns a club around. He doesn't go in and sell everyone straight away. He judges what's there. He turned Lovren. He turned these players. Lallana, for instance. Everyone was like, look, he's not of the grade. Get rid of him. To me, undroppable now. So that's what Klopp does. And so he'll get the players we need. And I hope that he does it without anyone knowing. Okay, we screwed up with Van Dijk. But I still think that deal's on as well.
Yeah. It's really interesting to see. Then the more that I look at the RB Leipzig players, the more I'm like, oh, I'd love any of those guys. But the three, the Timo Werner, Naby Keita, and who's the other guy? I've forgotten his name. Yeah, type away. Type in that to that Google search. He's the other creative midfielder, whatever his name is. Anyway, if we get any of them, I'll be very, very happy. We'll see.
I mean, if he's the same as Kante, I mean, that's enough that I need to hear.
It's a very different player, though. Let's see anything.
Like, for me, what I would love is a centre midfielder that's built like Yaya Toure. Someone that, when they pump the ball long, at a corner, gets rid of it. Just a big monster. Emery Can is close, but I want him bigger. I want him on steroids. I want him just like huge. Grouch. Effectively, but hitting the gym, because he looks one hell of a player. He really does.
Yeah, he does, yeah.
He looks like he cares. He looks like he could pass a ball. That header against Barcelona, that's ridiculous. In the preseason friendly.
And he's been playing very well for our academy too.
Yeah, dominated little 1-2s, threw balls through the back, like a clever player. And so, no, potentially you're right. Maybe that's the person that we need.
Have you had a chance to check out any of the England under 20 World Cup footage of Ovi Ejaria?
I watched the final. I watched Salake's goals. He tore it up, but there was one other guy that really impressed me that I think is going to be one hell of a... it was like something pound or something. It had a money ring to it. Who was it?
Sterling?
That's the one.
It's already gone, bro. I think you're living in 2013.
Give me a couple minutes, I'll find
out. I'm really impressed with the left back. Another, like Walker, I think his name is, another one from Tottenham. He was extremely good.
Saying that, I would love to buy Kyle Walker. I have no idea why Spurs would sell him.
Yeah, it's odd, isn't it? He is a bit of a brain fart kind of player, though. He runs up and... I think he did a couple of sliding back defending situations and it became an own goal, that kind of thing. So it's... anyway, we'll see. But yeah, Ovi Ejaria, if you get a chance, check out some... I think Mr. Boy Wonders posted some videos, but he had a couple of the earlier group games because he didn't get much of a look in later on when they'd kind of settled on their best team. And sadly, Ejaria was more of an off-the-bench player. But man, when he came on, I'm still going to call him... It went from Oviera Ajaria, and now it's become Oviera Ajayaya. So it's kind of like Vieira and Yaya Toure molded into one beautiful beast. And so if he fills out, he has got such great touch, really good passing range, and he's so good under pressure, as in he can just get into pressure and then he can dribble his way out of it. So that's very impressive. Ojo's doing very well. Solanke, obviously, whatever Chelsea decide to slap us with.
I mean, the World Cup, if anything, has cost us money.
Yeah, God, it's like, Christ, straight to the tribunal. Hopefully that tribunal's like, just shut up, let him out the player.
What did you pay to Danny Ings? Do you remember?
It was like 3 to 5 million again.
Like, it was cheap, because I remember at the time going, oh, look, they're gonna get us on some blah, 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 like Sterling technicality. But I remember once it was settled, it was cheap.
Yeah, it was real, real cheap. So that's why I'm happy to hold on to the guy. I don't think he's been paid very much because he's played like 7 games or something. But clearly got the energy for it. One guy I wanted to bring up was Ryan Kent, because I've seen someone sent out a message saying that Bournemouth have put in a £6 million bid for him. I think he's worth a lot more than that.
Yeah, so I was similar to you, seeing all these tweets, oh, look, we got this for Ibe, Smith, and if we sell him. But if he's worth more, keep him, hold on to him, and sell him in one season, 2 seasons.
Yeah, so a weird argument. Not a weird argument. It's natural if you don't spend too much time watching the academy, like I sadly do, because it's on at a great time in Australia. But Ryan Kent played 42 games for Barnsley, won Player of the Year, and scored some really important goals. Not a huge amount of goals. There's only like 3 or so, but he did score some great goals at great moments. But his speed and his control and his dribbling ability is so, so good. And there are people saying that, oh, but he's well behind, you know, Wilson and God, my boy Ben Woodburn and those guys and Ojo. I'm like, I disagree. When you play 42 games for, are Barnsley Championship? I think they're Championship.
Yeah.
42 Championship games. That's a hell of a lot of experience at 20 years old. And I think people will be pleasantly surprised when they see him in preseason, because I'm sure he's going to get a preseason. I think he's worth at least 8 to 10 right now. I'm going to call it there, because he is English too, so he gets the English tax. But I really hope he stays for at least this season. If he's not able to break through at 20 years old, 20 to 21, then yeah, sell him. But give
What's
him
his stature season. Like though? Is he quite small?
No, he's a big boy.
Yeah?
I think he just looks big on the field. Let me just check out his stats. What's his name again? Ryan Kent.
Like, for me, I know there's a lot of players we have in the youth academy that are talented, really talented, but then stature-wise, they've got to fill out before they can even think about making that 11.
Yeah. He's not actually that tall, but he's big weighted. So he's a meter 67, so he's like 5'6". Not very big at all. I'm strangely taller than him, and I'm not taller than many people. but his weight is 65, which is actually kind of stocky for someone
that size.
Yeah, that size. I think that must be old, because he does look a lot taller on the field. But
okay. Yeah.
Yeah, some of the photos.
I mean,
here.
I don't know who updates those stats and why they're like how often they're measuring the players. But I think he's 170 now. So.
Yeah, it's a bit odd because it's saying like 5'5.5". He looks a lot taller. So. We shall see. But honestly, oh, he's actually played 45 games. I don't know how big his FA Cup and League Cup appearances were, but 45 games. That is huge. That is a lot of games. So
and player of the season for them. So it's not like he's just played. He's done well.
He has done well. So that's that. Anyway, we've been rabbling on for about 45 minutes. Are there any particular topics you want to talk about before we close this one off?
It's very short. Adam Lallana, for me. Everyone's doing their first 11s for next season, blah, 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 blah. He has to be in it. But the whole point of this summer of buying players is that there's almost 22 players that you want to fit into an 11. That's the whole point. You've got Premier League, you've got Champions League. You don't want it to roll around to Christmas or January and go, oh, we lost the games because we've got African Cup of Nations or we've got injuries. You want that depth. And so people ignoring and forgetting what Lallana did, I think he was huge for us this season and can't wait to see next season, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. And even if he's not starting, I know it sounds very weird, but remember the whole Rafa rotation policy fume that happened? And there wasn't even Twitter back then, was there? But I think we're all on forums or something venting somehow. But remember how frustrated everyone was at that rotation policy? I think we need it. I think we need it back again. I think he was right all along.
The thing with Rafa, and I think people disrespect, but he did a great job for the money he spent. Obviously, there was flops, Aquilani, blah, blah, blah. But there was some great football. Like, if you look at the performance, we beat Real Madrid 4-1 over two legs.
That was amazing, wasn't it? Like,
we didn't play possession football, but he knew how to get what he wanted out of that squad.
Yeah, exactly. So he knew what he was doing. He did have to give up the league quite a number of times. There was one Birmingham game, I think it was, like a must win for us. And then he took off Torres.
Yeah, and that Gerrard
look. And Gerrard's face, breaks my heart every time. But he was protecting him for a Champions League game or whatever it was that weekend. Yeah. But
I think Lucas came on and scored.
No, he surely didn't.
There's one game that Lucas came on, Everton. Everton Lucas came on. Penalty, I think, and Kout scored.
Oh, God. What? I love that man so much. I wish he would. I hope he plays one more season just to go madness and score like 5 goals or something. We're like, oh, we got to keep him.
He got assist for goal of the season. That counts for something.
That was perfect. I do love that. And he's got like 3 assists. Good on him.
I mean, he's the new Pogba.
Yeah, my favorite one was actually the header flick over for Firmino's goal.
Yeah, that's good.
Just because it was just complete. I'm not going to score from here, so I'm just going to flick it and hope for the best. But it went and just some Brazilian telepathy just kicked in. And I don't know what made Firmino think I'm going to run into this space, but he does it so beautifully. And no one else thought of it, and he did and scored. So keep him.
Because he knew. He's like, oh, Lucas is there. He'll win the header. He'll flick it off.
Oh, mate, Lucas, assist king. He'll definitely put it right on the dot for me. Anyway, dude, let's kill this one off. It's just been a random pod, but I love it. I actually really enjoyed this one, so appreciate you jumping on. Feel free to come back time. Yep.
Thank you for having me.
It's been amazing. You come back anytime. Guys, if you have any questions, if you want to send us anything to talk about, please let us know. Things are a bit tough in podcasting world when we have no news from the club, so we haven't got anything to go on except crap. So
also, I'm in the know.
You are, sorry, we're all ITK. Don't forget to put those eyeballs out in your tweets, everyone. So get going with it. And please, thanks a lot for listening. Have an amazing day or night. And I look forward to speaking to you soon. Goodbye. Lovely cushion header. But Gerrard!